When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Abraham Lincoln Radio Studio at the George Washington Broadcast Center.
Jack Armstrong and Joe Getty.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Gluttony! It's one of the sins, you realize. It's a sin, gluttony.
One of the seven deadly sins, right? It's not just a sin. Not a, hey, I wish you wouldn't do that. It's a death.
Yeah, so it's not only just bad for you, it's a sin. God does not like gluttony. Yeah,
He was displeased with me.
Yeah, me too. I'm speaking to myself. Let's just tone down the gluttony. I ate the last big plate full of mashed potatoes, gravy, turkey, and stuffing last night, and let's just tone her down a little bit. Maybe something a little light tonight.
Yeah.
Let's walk away from the table and not waddle away from the table for the first time in 4 days.
How much apple crisp is enough? I'm asking myself, not you. Oh, it's so good though. Warmed up, little ice cream. Oh,
there were references to how my gallbladder gave up on me last year, and I'm running out of organs.
It quit and walked out.
Yes,
the great resigning or whatever they call that. here's a young man who's slim and in fine physical condition, not to mention a sharp mind, and that's Tim Sandifer, Tim the lawyer. Tim Sandifer is the vice president for litigation for the Goldwater Institute, author of many fine tomes, including some of my favorites, The Right to Earn a Living and The Permission Society, and also a brand new book, which we'll talk to him about in a couple of minutes. But Tim, how are you? Welcome.
I don't know, man. I think I may have indulged in a little of that gluttony myself over Thanksgiving.
Yes. I know you're frightened by your maker, but it's not always in the best health for all of us.
We spent Thanksgiving in Hawaii, so I am now officially what the Hawaiians call a pua'a, or pig. Gorged myself at the luau. So
hey, by the way, I saw that post on your Twitter, you and your your wedding anniversary, and the picture of you and Christine on the couch is a Simpsons drawing. Where'd you come up with that? That was awesome.
I don't know. My wife contacted the artist and got that done, Simpsons style portrait of our family sitting on the Simpsons couch. It's absolutely perfect. It's going to go well on my wall.
That is so cool.
Wow, that is a cool gift. Yeah, indeed. So, Tim, we have a lot of stuff to talk to you about. A couple of big cases, one that you've been working on personally, and then your new book is out, and we want to talk to you about that. But let's first bring the gavel down and talk about the cases. Now, for instance, you were working on an Indian Child Welfare Act case. We've talked to you about it. But for folks not familiar with it, give them the thumbnail sketch, if you would.
That's a federal law. That law is a federal law that says how states have to treat child welfare cases like abuse and neglect and adoption and foster care if a child is biologically eligible for membership in an Indian tribe. So it draws this biological distinction between kids and says that states have to treat these Indian children differently. And what's amazing about it is it says they have to treat these Indian children worse, because this law actually overrides the best interest of the child rule, which is the rule that governs how these kinds of cases are dealt with, and it forces state officials to send Indian children back to abused homes in situations that would not happen if the kids were white or black or Asian or Hispanic or whatever. And as a result, this law has led to the preventable murder of Indian children across the country in case after case after case. So we've been challenging the constitutionality of this law, and that case went to the U.S. Supreme Court and was argued a couple of weeks ago. I went out to D.C. to attend these oral arguments. It was a very exciting thing to witness.
Well, what's the argument for the status quo?
Because it sounds horrifically racist.
It really is, but the reasoning behind it at the time was actually they thought they were doing a good thing, because in the decades that preceded its passage, which was in 1978, states and federal officials, they had been engaged in this program of purposely taking Indian children away from their families in order to forcibly assimilate them with white society. And so that was like, you know, taking kids away from their families for no good reason. And so they said, well, how can we stop this from happening? And so they passed this law intending to put an end to that. But as almost seems to almost always happen, the government went too far the other direction and ended up passing a law that actually prohibits states from protecting these children nowadays in many cases.
Wow, that's just, the results are unthinkable, and just the logic strikes, or the lack of logic, is so troubling. But so that, it's been argued, and you know, it's difficult to say how it went, but how'd it go?
Oh, it went pretty well. It was 4 hours of oral argument, which is incredibly long. Ooh. I mean, that's like 19th century style, back when they used to take all day. And the justices were all very attentive to the very complicated constitutional questions here, because it's not just that it's race based. It's also, what are the limits between federal and state authority, and what do the regulations say? There's a lot of parts of the law that actually aren't defined, so nobody really knows what some of these terms mean and things. So it went back and forth. There were some really good arguments on both sides. I'm optimistic. I think that the argument went pretty well for us. I'm predicting it'll be a 5-4. I think it'll be close, but I think I'm optimistic that this case is going to declare this law unconstitutional and force Congress to say, look, without regard to children's race, we need to prioritize their best interests. Can't say, you know, like, this law basically prohibits white adults from adopting Indian children. Children who are in need they're not interested in color lines. They need protection and help. And this law is a law that says that even when there are adults willing to help children in need, they're not allowed to if they're the wrong race. And that's really outrageous.
How much of the oral arguments was that new chatty Supreme Court justice just talks too much?
Yeah, there was a little bit of that. It wasn't too much. But, you know, after 4 hours, I think we were all so exhausted that actually it was funny, the Chief Justice said, thank you, the case is submitted, which means everybody's done. Well, one of the lawyers had not had his chance to finish up his argument. So he stood there with this funny look on his face until the Chief Justice said, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead. And he went up to the podium and he said, I take the hint, Your Honor. And he was as quick as you could be.
Yeah, wow. Okay, let's talk about another case that I was asking you about a few weeks ago that had to do with enforcing laws against public camping, blocking sidewalks, etc., in Phoenix. As you know, it need not be reset, but everybody in every blue city in the country and some of the purple cities is dealing with this horrific influx of junkie camps everywhere. What's that case about?
Yeah, unfortunately, Phoenix is now the location of one of the largest homeless encampments in the country. Over 1,000 people who are living in what we call the zone on several blocks of downtown Phoenix in tents and on the streets because of a city policy to refuse to enforce laws against vagrancy and camping and pollution and these sorts of things. And as a result, it's destroying the businesses in the area. These people who are trying to run a business in these several blocks that are now being occupied by the homeless, they're finding that they can't hire people to work in these businesses. They can't protect the safety of their employees. They can't even protect their own businesses from arson. These people are setting fires to stay warm now that it's getting colder. And one person testified at a recent hearing that he had to have all the windows in the building sealed because of all the urine
that
was soaking into the place where he works because of these homeless encampments. So several business owners have filed suit in the state courts here challenging the city's maintenance of a public nuisance. A nuisance is, you know, when you use your property in a way that damages somebody else's property. And the government's not allowed to run a nuisance any more than anybody else is. And by maintaining this homeless encampment now for a couple of years now and basically attracting this element to the community to destroy people's property, the city is engaged in a nuisance. Now, unfortunately, we had a hearing several weeks ago, and then the case got reassigned to a new judge. So now we have to have another hearing next week, seeking a court order commanding the city to start enforcing its own laws.
Well, obviously, this could have far-reaching consequences if it goes the correct way, to my mind. I don't know where you draw the line at nuisance, but maybe that would finally be the way you break up these camps, right?
That's right. And in fact, there is one precedent already in place. Remember when I think it was Portland, they were operated what they called Chaz or Chop or whatever
Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. To set up this autonomous zone in the middle of the city and refuse to enforce the law there. As a result, a lot of people suffered. Their property was being destroyed and taken away from them. So they sued the city, and the federal court allowed that case to go forward, saying that that was a taking of their property without due process of law. So there is precedent on the book that says that when the government just completely washes its hands of its obligation to enforce the law and protect people's property rights, then it can be liable for depriving people of their constitutional rights.
Yeah, that's interesting, because I know business owners who feel like they don't get near as many customers as they would normally get, because it's so hard to get to their front door.
And what's so frustrating for us, the largely law-abiding, is that they're violating sewage laws, they're violating camping laws, they're violating drug use laws, and just there's a lack of political will, or I should say, putting in the affirmative, there's a political will to ignore the law.
Unlicensed dogs off leash, I mean, it's endless.
Refusing to enforce the laws against pollution. It's illegal in Arizona to pollute the public waterways. Well, this zone is within walking distance of the Salt River. People are urinating and defecating on the streets and the sidewalks, and when it rains, that runs off into the river. Well, no private party would be allowed to do that, and the city isn't allowed to do that either.
I was kind of surprised when you said it's been going on for years, because when you first said 1,000 people, I thought, well, can't you just wait till summer? It'll kind of take care of itself, but it's been going on for years. How do you stay in one of those places in the summertime? Good Lord.
I can't imagine. And, of course, in the winter, they're going to start setting even more fires than they currently are, which sets fires to the tents a lot of the time and starts to burn down the buildings. And we're talking about these tents are basically situated between the main campus of Arizona State University and the state capitol building in Phoenix. So you're talking about places we would really rather not have violent crime and arson going on.
Well, listen, I want to leave time for a discussion of Tim's brand new book, which sounds really, really interesting. Can you hang around for a couple minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
Tim Sander, for good follow on Twitter, too, if you do that sort of thing, always. Stay with us. More on the way.
Armstrong and Getty. The Armstrong and Getty Show.
I see that Tim Sandifer signed his new book. Did he actually sign it, or did he do like Bob Dylan just got sued for, having a computer sign his book? I had vertigo or something. Yeah, that's what happened.
My hand is tired.
Tim Sandifer is the Vice President for Litigation at the Goldwater Institute. If you just missed our conversation with him about a couple of really interesting cases, grab it via podcast later, Armstrong and Getty On Demand. But now let's move on to his brand new book, Freedom's Furies, How Isabel Patterson, Rose Wilder Lane, and Ayn Rand Found Liberty in an Age of Darkness. It's ladies' night. Tim Sandifer's a word processor. Hey, Tim, what inspired
right.
you?
Yeah. Well, I've always thought it was a really interesting story that these three women in the year 1943, each of them published books that basically started the modern libertarian movement. And it turns out that they knew each other and were friends, and they were all very interesting people. Rose Wilder Lane, for example, basically ghost wrote the Little House on the Prairie novels with her mother, Laura Ingalls Wilder. And, of course, Rand started a philosophical movement that was very influential. She had been born in the Soviet Union and escaped to the United States as a young woman to get away from Stalin's Russia. And Patterson is not very well known, but during her lifetime, she was the most influential book critic probably in New York City, and a very powerful voice. And the three of them together, they were friends, and they decided to kind of push back against the New Deal, and so I decided to write a little bit about them, and it turned into a book that's more on the literary and political history of the New Deal and of their own writing and their own careers than anything else.
I like the books pushing back against the New Deal, because, you know, it's regularly hailed in mainstream media as an obviously good thing for everyone in the country. How did they define their political views? I mean, what were the main tenets of their political view?
They consider themselves individualists, so they didn't really use the word libertarian. Even Rand particularly hated the word libertarian. They considered themselves radicals for capitalism. That is, they were a kind of liberal in the sense that they were in favor of liberating individuals, which is what liberal used to mean. But they thought the best way to liberate individuals was through the free market, to let people do their own thing, and only have the government become involved if people start violating each other's rights by taking their stuff away or beating them up or whatever. They didn't believe in government as a savior or a protector figure. And I think that's part of the reason why their being women was relevant, because Patterson and Lane were born in 1886. So they were in their 30s when women got the right to vote in America. And so they were very familiar with the way that being protected or shielded from the harsh things in life is really a euphemism for taking people's freedom away from them. And of course, Rand, you know, in the Soviet Union, they had been promised, government is going to oversee an era of utopia and plenty. And she, of course, witnessed personally how that actually worked out. So I think they were especially sensitive to the idea that being protected means taking your freedom away.
Interesting, especially because it's fairly indisputable that when women gained the right to vote, sympathy increased a great deal for a more mommy-ish government, a more caretaker government.
That was certainly their view. That was certainly what Patterson thought. Patterson thought that she was very, very a kind of a cynical personality, and she thought that when the New Deal came along, the masculine virtues all basically disappeared. And she late in her life, she used to say, "I grew up in a world where men were men." But she thought that with the coming of Franklin Roosevelt and the bureaucratic state that is supposed to protect everybody, that men just vanished from the earth, and what we were left with was guys who were just begging for favors and protection instead, and it disgusted her. Lane, of course, she grew up on the Western frontier. She grew up on the prairie. She hated it so much that she moved to Albania to get away from it. But she grew up in the West, and so she knew what it was from her parents and her grandparents, what masculine virtues were necessary to settle the Western frontier. And Rand had this idea of what masculine virtue meant, of being bold and uncompromising, self-reliant, and so forth. And she thought that was being undermined by the New Deal. So they all thought the American character of boldness and enterprise is being destroyed by government intervention.
That's fantastic. I love that. I promise I will read this book. And I, like I said, I love any pushback against the idea that the New Deal was just overwhelmingly positive for America.
So the title is Freedom's Furies, How Isabel Patterson, Rose Wilder Lane, Ayn Rand Found Liberty in an Age of Darkness. We'll have a link at armstrongandgetty.com so you can find it easily. Tim, we apologize, but we're up against a hard break and must bid you a fond adieu.
Appreciate your time, though.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's always great to talk. Thanks, Tim.
Yeah, you run into that all the time in mainstream media, that the New Deal, you know, that's what Biden should do. That's what he should do.
It brought us out of the darkness.
Right. Yeah. I like this. Three women saying, what happened to the men in this country?
And those women never saw a wispy little fellow walking around with a man bun either, did they? How much would they have hated that, huh?
If you missed an hour of the show, get the podcast, Armstrong and Getty On Demand.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
And let's not forget, this is happening at great personal risk. The people who are involved in these protests know that they're likely bound for jail, that they are going to be facing an incredibly repressive regime. And yet they continue to protest because they realize this zero COVID policy makes no sense. There is no end game in mind. And the only person responsible for this is Xi Jinping, the leader of China. So these protests continue, and the world should take notice because this is a tremendous activity that's happening in China that, frankly, is happening organically, where right. People are speaking out because they don't like what's going on.
That's our friend Lan He Chen on Fox and Friends talking about the protests that are going on in China, which you may have missed over the weekend because you were living your life. With a Thanksgiving break, probably. And this has been going on for about 3 days, protests all across the country based on the fact that they got this zero COVID policy that's insane and they've had for quite a while. But based on the fact that there was a fire at an apartment complex and 10 people died. And the thinking is that these people died because, you know, they locked the doors from the outside and the police and fire aren't able to get there. And zero COVID is making people miserable. And this is kind of lit the fire of protest all across the country. Now, how the Communist Party is going to react to chants that Xi should resign, etc., nobody knows. Although we do have some breaking news on that. You said the Wall Street Journal?
Yeah, the Wall Street Journal's out with the news that the Chinese authorities have surprisingly cracked down on the protests and are actively discouraging any sort of protesting, dispatching phalanxes of police to prevent fresh gatherings as state media reiterated support for leader Xi Jinping's stringent pandemic strategy.
Yeah, I mentioned once earlier that I had heard Iran is a step beyond what most authoritarian regimes have done since the dawn of time. Like, Iran is doing it old school. You just go in there with sticks and beat people. Hit them, shoot them.
Hope you drag them away to jail.
Hope you can get the protests to go away. China because of their technology and they're the world's second biggest economy, so they got a lot of money to spend on this sort of thing. It's all about identify and detain. They've got to, they can take the time to look at, find your face. They got facial recognition technology. They got freaking cameras everywhere. They'll figure out who you are. Then a week from now, they'll come to your house and you'll just go away to some Chinese work camp or something like that. And eventually that'll take the steam out of the protests. That's their goal, I guess. See how that works.
That would do it. If enough of your friends get disappeared, you might hesitate to take the streets, or as has been shown in history over and over again, or more and more people take to the streets.
Yeah, just if you haven't been following the whole zero COVID policy that Xi has been sticking to in the defiance of, like, all evidence, it would seem. It reminds me of Mao back in the 50s, early 60s, where he was committed to his great leap forward that was starving people and all the people around him. And certainly the citizens of the country saying, hey, this isn't working. He stuck with it. He actually got pushed out of power briefly because it was such a bad decision. We'll see what happens with Xi. But this is what zero COVID policy is like.
When we talk about zero COVID here, what we're talking about is when there's the quarantines, there's the mass testing, there's the limits on mobility. But in China, when you get COVID, you don't take a few days off work and ride it out at home. When you get COVID here, they track you down. And they come and they take you to a hospital and they take your family to a quarantine center, those container, shipping container camps that we're seeing being built at a frantic rate. And you stay in the system until the system says you can leave. This is what people are frustrated with as well. It's all of the limits on mobility. It's businesses being forced to close down, people losing money, people losing their jobs. But it's this sense of a loss of freedom that comes with this policy, and people saying enough is enough, that it's got to change.
Yeah, the sense of a loss of freedom comes with your loss of freedom. That sense will start to get to you.
Well, and I'd caution folks, if they heard the phrase, they take you to a hospital, don't picture an American hospital. Picture a hastily built Chinese COVID jail, essentially, where you're imprisoned eating bread and water until you're healthy again.
Yeah, they come by. There's videos of it out there. In fact, we tweeted out one of a kid that they had snatched and put in the hazmat suit, and he's wandering around being yelled at by guards who are also in hazmat suits, so he can go in his little cell. And then they'll slide food through the door for you for weeks at a time. Parents not knowing where you are, you not knowing where your parents are. I mean, just it's absolutely horrifying. That woman there from NBC News reporting on some of the conditions at various workplaces.
Protesters also taking to the streets in China, rejecting what they call onerous lockdowns under China's oppressive COVID zero policy. The violence extending to what is known as iPhone City after 200,000 workers were forced into isolation in trash-filled dorms.
What's that going to do to the whole iPhone thing? Is this going to hasten the inevitable Apple pulling out of China? It's inevitable, isn't it?
It's absolutely pushing them in that direction, yeah.
200,
I'd love to hear the discussions behind the scenes.
200,000 iPhone City employees protesting.
Now, I ordered the aforementioned iPhone, a fancy pants one, I admit it, and I was informed that we would be delighted to bring that to your home, sir, in 5 weeks.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Which one are you trying to get?
The fancy pants one. I'm just saying that. Let's leave it there.
There are homeless people have this phone. College kids have this phone. You're not coming off as, like, elite by having the 14 Pro Max.
Nah, it's the 15. I called Tim. I said Tim.
Oh, well, that is elite.
I got status. I can't be on the same phone as the homeless and college students. No, it's the 14 Pro Max.
But that's pretty interesting because I bought mine off the shelf a couple of weeks ago, and you're saying they ain't got them right now. So I wonder if this is because of this.
Yeah, it kind of depends, and I don't know. I wasn't going to spend a lot of time worrying about, well, maybe the other color is in stock or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, they're definitely short.
You wanted gold. You're like Trump. Everything's gold. Your toilet's gold.
Pretty much, yeah. My bling, clearly gold.
So when Kanye and Nick Fuentes come to your house, they can enjoy your gold fixtures and everything like that.
Hey, Michael, look at my navel piercing. Gold.
I don't want to think about that.
Navel piercing.
my hairy belly. Oh, geez. Anyway, where were we? Ah, yes, the oppression in China.
Oh, and the real thing is the protests are unlike anything that has happened under Xi's leadership. The biggest protests in China since 1989, which those didn't end well. How is Xi going to handle this? That's what everybody's wondering.
Well, so interesting because it's in multiple big cities, young, old, rich, poor, really widespread, a lot of anger. I think it probably ends like most of these things end. They will oppress just enough to get the people to shut up and get back in line. I don't mean to be discouraging, but that's usually how these things end. On the other hand, and we talked about this a little bit earlier, some of the creativity, snark, and sarcasm of the visuals of the demonstrations, really interesting. Everything from students at this university in Beijing showing a math equation. Their placards have a math equation. Why? Because with a math equation devised by the Russian physicist Alexander Friedman, whose surname in Chinese is a homonym for, it looks the same as, a free man. And so they're holding up this math equation because the authorities can't censor it, and online especially. They sarcastically, because in Chinese internet, it's highly suppressed, highly censored, and positive messages abound. Negative ones are scrubbed. So the protesters resorted to irony. They posted walls of text filled with the Chinese characters for yes, good, and correct to sarcastically point out how bad everything is. And then my favorite one is, and you'll see this a lot in video protests or pictures if you see any, is they're holding up blank sheets of white paper. And it has multiple meanings. White is a common funeral color in China, so that has to do with mourning the people killed in the fire Jack mentioned. It relates to, it's an old joke from the Soviet Union. It's a bitter joke. But that a guy was handing out pamphlets in the square, and the police came in to arrest him, and he showed the cops that the pamphlets were blank, and asked why the pamphlets are blank. He said, "There's no need for words. Everybody knows." In other words, the Chinese people are saying, "Everybody knows why we're angry, specifically. I don't even need to use words. Just hold up a blank sheet of paper," which is a powerful symbol.
God, I would say. So this is out today, a BBC statement on Ed Lawrence, who's a award-winning, well-known BBC journalist who was arrested, handcuffed, beaten, and kicked by police covering the protests in Shanghai over the weekend. BBC very unhappy with that treatment from the freaking Chinese government. That's you got that level of protests. Well, the biggest protests in China since Xi's been in charge, the biggest pushback on Putin since he's been in charge, and the biggest pushback on the Ayatollah since he's been in charge in Iran.
Yeah.
All happening at the same time.
Yeah, you wonder. It's so hard to say, you know, whether any of these will be successful. Dictators are very good at holding on to power until the moment that they're not.
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
That's just good advice. That's from China.
Oh, yeah. So we need to re-explain that because it's so good. That's the drones. They were flying outside the buildings when people are locked inside the building. You're not able to go out and get food or medicine for your kids or anything like that. They play a drone that says this.
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
The government telling you to control your soul's desire for freedom. How? It's too Orwellian for Orwell.
Yeah, I know. No, he'd say, nah, that's too much. I'm taking this out in 1984. Nobody'd buy it.
It's unbelievable.
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
So I'm looking at this update from the Wall Street Journal about how the police are arriving en masse to the places the protests have been. And there don't seem to be any because there's so many cops. In Shanghai, police were checking the phones of people who showed up at People's Square Station, a transportation hub, in search of foreign apps, including Instagram, Twitter, and Telegram. Hand me your phone. According to messages posted in a chat room used by protesters, police also turned out in Hong Kong, et cetera, et cetera. How about that? You show up to take the train to work. The cop says, give me your phone. And goes through it to search for any foreign apps. And if they find any, you're in trouble.
Yeah, sure. And you might just end up on a list where you no longer get to have the job you want or live where you want or all kinds of different things.
Yeah. Yeah. Really the whole social score they had. What's the term for that? Well, that's essentially it.
Our text line is 415-295-KFTC. KFTC. We will finish strong next.
Control your soul's desire for freedom.
F you.
Armstrong and Getty.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
The Armstrong and Getty Show.
Why not? Good Thanksgiving, everyone.
By now, your pants have completed their journey from on to unbutton to who needs pants. So congratulations. Please get comfortable, relax. You just did all the dishes, or you stood around pretending to be busy to avoid doing the dishes, whatever you did. And I could actually just like to make a quick public service announcement, if I could. If you're still at someone's house watching me right now, everyone wants you to go home. Bye.
So Fallon did a live show on Thanksgiving night.
Hmm.
Wonder what his wife thought of that.
Hmm.
Couple of things to mention for you. Elon allowed a whole bunch of people back on Twitter, including President Trump, who has not tweeted as of yet. But he let Kanye back on, and Kanye's first tweet was shalom. So,
oh,
there you go.
Unfortunate.
Kanye did announce a couple days ago that he is running for president in 2024. Maybe tomorrow we will talk a little bit about the Trump, Kanye, and then whoever that other guy was that I've never heard of, who's a bad guy.
Young white supremacist.
Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow. And maybe talk about Elon and what his how he has time to argue with individual musicians and actors and actresses across the country while he's running. I was busy with two kids. I don't know how he's got so much time with 10 kids.
Well, and I got one job. He's got like six of those.
Right. Ecuadorian fans were chanting, "We want beer," during the opening of the World Cup match. So did that change? Are they still not allowing people to drink? Did anybody give on that?
No beer in the stadiums.
So not going to change on that.
Correct.
Even
barbaric.
After a week, I thought maybe eventually the pressure would build up and they'd decide that they want the money badly enough. No?
No. The Qataris they won the bid 10 years ago, 48 right. hours before the kickoff. They said no beer in the stadium.
Yeah, I get that. But I thought they might cave. This has been going on for, a full week now, the World Cup.
And I haven't heard that.
Do you know what time we play Iran tomorrow?
Is it
in the middle of the night? Like you got to watch it 2 in the morning, or will it be?
No, it's the middle of the day. I'm just finding out. I believe it's 1 p.m. I'm trying to check right now.
Yeah, my recollection is, it's more or less that, Michael. Some like noon Eastern or 2 Eastern, or I can't remember.
There's a new book out called Who's Raising the Kids that I want to get into more later this week also that just came out and is getting a fair amount of attention. Big tech, big business in the lives of our children and how screens are raising our children, and all of the statistics that show why it is absolutely horrible, which is not surprising anyone.
Wow.
So you mentioned that. I actually deleted a tweet that I tweeted out the other day for Thanksgiving. I'm going to talk about that during the podcast. So
really?
Yeah, our One More Thing podcast. I deleted a tweet, which I think might be the first time I've ever done that.
Okay, I've got, I'll save it for my one, what was it? One more thing? Last thing?
Final
thoughts. That's it. Yeah, that's what we're doing here. Well, we've been off for a while.
Yeah, sure.
I don't want the show to be over, but I'm ready. Ow! To listen to the final thoughts from Armstrong and Getty.
Yeah! Here's your host for Final Thoughts, Joe Getty.
All right, then, let's get a final thought from everybody on the crew. Shorthanded still, but doing our best bravely. Young Michelangelo is our behind-the-scenes technical director there, pushing buttons. Michael, final thought?
Yeah, I was just looking up the game. It looks like you're right. I think it's 2 p.m. Eastern time, so it'd be 11 a.m. and on the West Coast.
What about in Chicagoland? Michael, be thorough.
And so as far as you know, if the Iranian goalie lets the ball get by, they don't chop off his hands?
I don't know. They might. Let's see. Jack, do you have a final thought for us?
Yeah, I came across this and some words of wisdom. Maybe I'll share some more of them tomorrow. It's a book or something like that, but I thought this was a good quote. You'll never be as young as you are now. Do what you feel you are meant to do. But that is worth keeping in mind all the time. You'll never
be. What I'm meant to do is lie down?
You'll never be.
That's kind of how I feel.
You'll never be as young as you are now.
Huh.
You can't go backwards, but you are the youngest you're ever going to be again. Right now.
Damn. My final thought will be this email from Robert. Listening to you dopes talk about people working on Thanksgiving is ridiculous. You take off 3 days before and 3 days after every holiday. Lazy a-holes. Except he spells it out.
What was that in response to?
You want my serious answer?
Yeah.
The fact that he has a miserable, unhappy life and is just looking for somebody to spew it out on.
I don't remember mocking people who work over Thanksgiving or anything like that.
Well, no. We didn't say we were mocking people. He said us even talking about it is ridiculous. But he's angry at other things, and, it's fine. I hope he finds happiness someday.
I've worked many a Thanksgiving and Black Friday. Armstrong and Getty wrapping up another grueling four-hour workday.
Every Friday's a Black Friday, you racist. Hey, so many people to thank so little time. Go to armstrongandgetty.com. If we talked about a great article or a video or whatever, the link is there under Hot Links, armstrongandgetty.com.
See you tomorrow. God bless America.
Armstrong and Getty.
They're loco.
They're locking up my toothpaste.
That's 100 on the crazy meter.
That's right.
I don't think people are able to really grasp that.
It's outrageous.
And so grotesque.
Hey, Michael, look at my navel piercing. Gold.
I don't want to think about that.
Navel piercing.
I expected more.
I don't give two craps.
I yield the rest of my time, but this.
On that high note, thank you all very much.
Okay.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring?
but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
Got menopause? We've got you. Hi, Jackie here, founder of ExoJackie. Feel supported throughout your menopause journey and beyond with our organic protein powders and symptom relief boosts. Formulated to keep bones and muscles strong, ExoJackie products help reduce bloating, hot flashes, and weight gain. Enjoy 20% off with promo code EXOPODCAST. Shop now at ExoJackie.com. Made for women by women.